As we come to John chapter 9, we come to a portion of Scripture where Jesus encounters an individual with disabilities, in this case, a physical disability. And I think there are some things that we can observe from how Christ viewed this individual and what he did that can serve as kind of a guideline for us as we seek to mold our minds into the mind of Christ and have our actions follow the likeness of Christ. Chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? I really like this part. Some said, This is he. And others said, No, he is like him. But he said, No, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, Well, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then they said, Then said they unto him, Well, where is he? And he said, I know not. A very interesting passage of Scripture. And as we jump back to verse 1, I think it's noteworthy that as we come into chapter 9, Jesus has confronted the Pharisees on a number of issues. In fact, if we go back to chapter 8, Jesus said in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Interesting that he refers to darkness there, and in chapter 9, he's about to heal a blind man who's lived his whole life in darkness. In chapter 19, Jesus says to the Pharisees, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. Verse 24, he says to the Pharisees, If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, by this time, the Pharisees were really upset. I mean, they could not tolerate this man named Jesus. And as we come down to verse 58 in chapter 8, this is the frosting on the cake. The Pharisees said, then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, referring to his eternality. And in verse 59, And then they took up stones and cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went through the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So when we pick it up at chapter 9, verse 1, it is just after Jesus has hid himself from the very people who were about to stone him. Now, how he hid himself, I don't know. Whether he sort of decomposed himself or, you know, kind of became kind of a spirit form, like he could pass through the wall like he did in the upper room, or whether he just mingled with the crowd. I really don't know, and it doesn't really say in the text. But isn't it interesting, in chapter 9, verse 1, as he passed by, as he was escaping from those who were about to stone him, he saw a man which was born blind from his birth, and he stopped. I think the first observation that I would like to suggest to you is Jesus saw a person with a purpose. The disciples saw a person with a problem. And they asked Jesus the question, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because in that time, in ancient times, it was assumed that if you had a disability, then probably you sinned or your parents sinned, and this is part of God's curse. This is part of God's punishment. And Jesus says to the disciples, men, this isn't about sin. In fact, he says specifically, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. And this next phrase is critical, but that the works of God should be manifest in his life. I mean, you sense purpose with a capital P here. Jesus saw a person with a purpose. Let me just ask you, when you see an individual with special needs, maybe it's at the grocery store, maybe they're stocking shelves, maybe they're bagging, maybe it's at Panera. I saw a young man at Panera the other day, one of my favorite places. In fact, you have one just down the road here. I passed it on the way up. I really like that. And he had a hat that was kind of turned sideways. He had a shirt that said Panera on it, and he sat down and was having lunch. It was very obvious that he had was an individual with special needs. I thought, okay, what do I think of when I see this individual? In a few moments, I'm going to give you a word that will serve as an acrostic that I hope that you will apply to individuals that you see with special needs. When Jesus saw this person, he saw a person with a purpose. The disciples saw a person with a problem. Back in 1964, there was a young man that came to Shepherd's by name of Butch White. Butch was 6 years old when he came to Shepherd's. He was a boy with Down syndrome. And fortunately, Dr. Andrew Wood, the director of Shepherd's at that time, which was pictured in the DVD, saw more than a boy with a diagnosis, but he saw a boy with potential. He saw a boy with a tender heart toward things of the Lord. And even though Butch couldn't read or write, as Butch grew up and got into his teenage years, Butch memorized a whole bunch of scripture. He had a sweet spirit. He learned to be able to give his testimony. It was very obvious that he loved the Lord. And for about 25 years, Butch and his friend Steve, who could sing, became the face of Shepherd's Ministries. And they traveled with Dr. Wood all over the country. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point along the way, over the years, that they may have been at this church. Maybe that's what stimulated the support of this church. I don't know for a fact. I can remember Butch and Steve ministering in my church in Binghamton, New York, Central Baptist Church. I remember them ministering at BBC and in other places. And Butch, who couldn't read or write, would quote scripture, and people would be challenged about their laziness and their willingness to memorize scripture. I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of people came to know Christ through Butch's ministry over the years, and how many believers were challenged. But I would say literally, over that 25 years, it was in the thousands. It really became very profound, God's purpose in Butch's life, when this past June 16th of 2009, Butch passed away at 53 years of age. At the memorial service at Shepherd's, Butch's two siblings, his brother and sister, sat in the front row. This was in the all-purpose building at Shepherd's in the gymnasium. They had a large turnout, and so many of the residents were there. Butch was deeply loved. And here was a picture of Butch in the memorial service, and here sat his brother and his sister. His brother had just been in prison. His sister had been strung out on drugs and been through numerous rehab programs. These were the normal kids. Butch, over here pictured, was called the retarded child. Years ago, and was sent to the home to be taken care of. Now let me ask you, Which one did God really use in a magnificent way to challenge people in their commitment to Christ and their commitment to God's Word? Who would have guessed years earlier that Butch would be the one through whom the works of God would be manifest in a marvelous way? Because someone, Dr. Andrew Wood, didn't see a child with a diagnosis, but he saw a person with potential. Living in his likeness, I would like to submit to you, is seeing every person that walks through the door of this church, regardless of their mental abilities or their physical disabilities, seeing every person as one through whom God can work. That is living in the likeness of Jesus. Secondly, I'd like to suggest that Jesus not only saw a person with a purpose, Jesus saw a person with a need. And verse 6, having said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, as we see this text, it's, we can read what happened, but to think about the implications of what's going on is really fascinating. Number one, Jesus is about to declare his authority over the human body by healing this person who lived his whole life in darkness. It's kind of like an illustration of what we said earlier when he said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And now Jesus is about to declare his authority to the Pharisees who were about to stone him, who had been about to stone him, by healing this blind man. Secondly, Jesus is rejecting the pious legalism of the Pharisees by the very manner in which he is choosing to heal this blind man. I mean, we have all kinds of accounts of Jesus healing people in Scripture. Some had touched his garment. Some he had touched himself. Some he just spoke the words as they were in his presence. And in some cases, he spoke the words and the person wasn't even there. They were far off and they were healed. But Jesus chose this method of mixing the clay and putting it on the blind man's eyes. Why? Because the Pharisees, in their efforts to live within the boundaries of God's law, had made a whole bunch of laws themselves in addition to God's laws. And one of the laws that the Pharisees had is that you could not mix any medications on the Sabbath. You could drink a medication, but you could not mix a medication and apply it to your body, which goes to show how flimsy some man's laws are, right? When they try to narrow God's boundaries, we do such ridiculous things sometimes. God is saying, I'm giving you 8 feet within which to work. And the Pharisees were saying, okay, to make sure we don't step out of the 8-foot circle, let's make some additional rules and let's make a 4-foot circle. And if you stay within the 4-foot circle, you'll make sure that you don't step out of the 8-foot circle, right? Sort of makes sense. But the problem is that kind of legalism becomes the God itself. The rules become the God. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to violate the 4-foot circle just to show the emptiness and the piousness of the Pharisees. And so Jesus mixed the clay, applies it to the man's eyes, and rejects the Pharisees' teaching. 3, Jesus meets a physical need and opens the door of a soul. It's interesting to me that he didn't try to convince the blind man right there on the spot that he needed to receive Christ as Savior. He did an act of kindness. He did an act of healing. And I'm not saying that we have to be in the healing business today, but I am saying that we need to do acts of kindness and help people in tangible ways, and that opens the door to the gospel. I believe it unleashes tremendous potential in a community and opens the window of the gospel to the community when a church helps a community in tangible ways and responds to a community in tangible ways. Let me just submit to you, living in his likeness means we serve real needs through which Jesus is revealed. One of the individuals that came to know Christ in the college, you know, Shepherd's College is a 3-year certificate program that individuals with mental disabilities can be involved in after they age out of high school or graduate from high school. I mean, that is a tangible way that we try to help people with special needs who we know aren't going to come and live at Shepherd's. In fact, having a residential facility is really not the modern model anymore of caring for people with special needs. They live at home, they live at group homes, and that's why we believe Shepherd's College, where you get 3 years program, conducted just like a college, go home for the holidays, and then at the end of the 3-year program, you go back and live in your own community, serve in your own church with biblical skills, biblical decision-making skills, social skills, vocational skills, so that you can live up to your full potential. One of the students that came to Shepherd's, who was not a believer when he came to Shepherd's, but in serving the needs of David Ellenberger, it opened the window of his heart to the gospel. And here's what happened in David's life in his first year as a Shepherd's College student. God is teaching me how to become an independent person. I have learned so much about God's word. God has shown me how to know when to speak and when to listen. Sounds like social skill training, doesn't it? One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, my first year is almost over and I can't wait till next year. I'm going to study culinary arts. I love to cook. Christ is in my life now and I'm going to follow him all of my days. I am his disciple. God is my heavenly Father. Maybe I could witness to some of the new students coming in next year. Some of them might not be Christians. It feels good to be here. I would say having a desire to communicate Christ to others is evidence that something really happened. He's got the real deal. He is not inoculated with just enough religion to keep from catching the real thing. He has the real thing. God is in control. I'm ready to live a good, healthy life that will glorify the Lord. Living in his likeness, I believe, means that we serve real needs through which Jesus is revealed. And lastly, let me just say, Jesus saw a soul to be saved. Living in his likeness means that we intentionally seek the souls that we have served in tangible ways. Look what happened at the very end of the chapter. There's so many interesting things in this chapter, but let me just say that the Pharisees tried to talk the blind man out of confessing that Jesus healed him. They were saying, listen, we will admit that you were healed, but give God the glory, not Jesus. And basically he was saying, basically said, if it weren't for Jesus, I would not be able to see today. I give Jesus the glory. And they threw him out of the temple. And we pick it up at verse 35, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when they had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he, the blind man, answered and said, Well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh to thee. Now keep in mind, the blind man had yet never seen Jesus, right? Because when he received his sight, he was at the pool of Siloam. He had never yet seen Jesus. And now Jesus is saying to him, it is me. I am standing before you. You are looking at me. The one who healed you is talking with you. And Jesus said unto him, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I think it's interesting that that when the blind man was thrown out of the temple and Jesus heard about it, those words, and when he had found him. Who is he? Jesus. Who is him? The blind man. Who did the seeking? Jesus did. He went looking for the blind man who he had healed when he recognized there was a crisis in his life. And I tell you, folks, when we have come alongside someone and been a tangible help to them, and particularly if a crisis occurs in their life, I hope you seek them out in order that you might minister to them the gospel of God and the peace of God. Let's go back to Panera. I said, I saw that young man in Panera, and I want to give you a word that when you see someone with special needs, here's a word that I want you to remember, because I think the word puts you in a mind frame that will help you live in the likeness of Jesus, and that is the word pure. P-U-R-E. The P stands for purpose. We need to see everyone is created on and for purpose, that the works of God might be displayed in their life. The U stands for unique, unique in gifts and abilities. When you get to know an individual with special needs long enough, you'll discover that they have some unique abilities. You just need to find out what they are. One of the girls at Shepherd's is an encyclopedia of jokes, and she said that Dr. Russ Kincaid, our resident doctor of psychology, she says, Dr. Kincaid, how high does the corn grow? And he paused and scratched his beard and didn't want to get taken in, you know. And she says, oh, never mind. It's over your head. He says, Amy, that's a pretty good joke. Individuals are unique. They have unique abilities, unique gifts. P, U. The next letter is R, responsive. Individuals with special needs are very responsive to acceptance, to love, to affection. You know that from your experience. And the last letter is E, which stands for eternal soul. We need to see souls in need of a Savior. These are souls, as Dr. Amstutz said, for whom Christ died. What is the word? Pure. What's it stand for? P, purpose. U, unique. R, responsive. And E, eternal souls for whom Christ died. And Shepherd's mission over the years to this minority group, whether it be adults or children, is to live in the likeness of Jesus, see potential, serve needs, seek souls. That's what we've done. That's what your investment has done over the years. We want to say thank you for that. And may God continue to bless Shepherds. And even as you give today, as God leads you, may your gifts be multiplied in souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the graciousness that you have demonstrated toward Shepherds and toward those residents that we have. Lord, we thank you for your abundant provision for Shepherds. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to be honored in this ministry. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Lord, we thank you for the example in Scripture that people with special needs matter to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.